I've never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or something to see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden, and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time.
Welcome all and welcome to the next episode of the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I am your host wearing the tinfoil hat. So Joe Biden goes through west of the country, rural America, sees a bunch of Trump signs and then F Biden signs, and then a 7 or 8 year old kid flipping them off. Now, while I wouldn't normally condone that action out of a 7 or 8 year old, I'll let that one slide. I mean, come on. This should tell everything to the Democrats that they need to know. Listen, Joe Biden, when he's up on stage and he's not reading off the teleprompter, he'll tell you exactly how it is. It's when he's reading off the teleprompter, he lies through his teeth. But when he goes off script and just goes on a tangent, like this particular episode, that tells you everything you need to know. People do not like this guy. And you have poll after poll after poll telling us that Biden is surging ahead. Biden's going to win. He may. Again, for the 15 billionth time, I'm going to tell you, do not ever underestimate the Democrats' ability to cheat. They are going to have to. They're going to have to steal this election a lot harder than they stole the last one. Because now people, they're looking. They're starting to be more aware of what happened in 2020. So you're not going to be able to board up the windows in Detroit so people can't see what happened. You're not going to be able to kick all the Republican voting monitors or vote monitors. You're not going to be able to kick them out. More importantly, you shouldn't, but I firmly believe this is going to happen again. You shouldn't be able to stop counting during the night of the election. Never happened before. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen again. They've got to get those votes in. Now, there's talk that China's going to try and influence the election. Why would that? And the Democrats are freaking out. Why would that freak the Democrats out? Because if China's smart, they want Biden in. They don't want Trump in. Nobody wants Trump in, because if Trump gets in, that takes America from this weakling nation up to the superpower that we truly are. But let's be honest. I don't want any interference. Let's run this as a clean, fair election. If you think Reagan beating Dukakis in 84 was a whitewash, wait until Trump versus Biden 2 happens, if this was to ever be a fair in complete election, which it will never be. We'll never have one again. The Democrats know how to cheat. They know how to cheat. They do it well. This was told to me and I kind of redid it a little bit. This is what Democrats are. If you are a conservative and you do not want to own a gun, guess what? You just don't own a gun. But if you're a Democrat, a progressive, a communist, a socialist, whatever you want to call yourselves these days, if you are on the left and you don't like guns and you don't think people should have a gun, well, then therefore, it's not just you that shouldn't have a gun, it's everybody. If a conservative doesn't eat meat and wants to be a vegan, guess what? They become a vegan. If a liberal becomes a vegan, then nobody should be able to eat meat. If a conservative thinks the environment needs protecting and doesn't want to buy a car powered by gasoline, they go buy an electric car. If a liberal thinks the same way. If a liberal thinks that the environment needs protecting, nobody can buy a gas-powered car. And this is the liberal mentality. Being an individual, having a free thought, a free will, does not work in their cult. And that's what this is a cult. And you can tell, you can hear the liberals saying that conservatism is a cult. MAGA, they tell us all the time that MAGA is a cult. Well, to be honest with you, the MAGA movement, we'll call it, they just want to be left alone. They want lower taxes. They want our federal government to protect our borders. But most of all, they want our government out of our lives. Where on the left, all they want is government intervention. The more government in their lives, the better. And this is the inherent difference between a liberal and a conservative. While a liberal, they need their government to run their lives. They can't do it by themselves. Conservatives are independent. We are able to do life by ourselves. Not everybody does it well, but the majority of liberals, let's be honest, they struggle in life because all they do is depend on other people to succeed. And eventually, the gracefulness and the thoughtfulness and the willingness to help these people will go away. Where conservatives, they're like, you know what? I'm pulling up my bootstraps. I'm tightening up my laces. I'm going to work and I'm going to make a better life for myself. And that's all we want. We want a chance to make a better life for ourselves and, more importantly, for our families. Liberals, they can't think like that. They can't fathom that. I'm not saying there's not successful liberals out there. But if you need someone that knows nothing about you, that has never grown up like you have, aka a politician, if you need these people to direct you on what to think and how to do things and where you're going to make a living, there's a problem with that. Conservatives don't think like that. I don't think like that. Listen, guys, I struggled mightily. I was literally broke. I was 4 months behind on rent, getting ready to be evicted. I did need help. But here's the difference. And I've said this to so many people, and I may have said it on this show in the past. I don't care if you need assistance. If you need food stamps, if you need welfare to get back on your feet, by all means, take it. I will help you out. I will gladly pay some of my taxes to help you out so you can get on your feet. But when you get on your feet, it should stop. This is not a lifeline. This is not something to, this is not a way of life. It is for a lot of people, but it shouldn't be. And you and I continue to pay for this, pay for people's lifestyles. I mean, I grew up in Saginaw. Now, granted, Saginaw, if you know Michigan, you think first thing you think of Saginaw is ghetto. I get it. I grew up in what they call Saginaw Township. It's white suburbia. We didn't have any problems, but we did travel into the city, not often, but quite a bit. And it's a different world. It's generational. Welfare, food stamps are generational. And this is why the black families, they have so many kids, because the more kids you have, the more assistance you get. Instead of saying, stop having kids, they just say, hey, you got another kid? Here's some more money. Hey, you got another kid? Here's some more money. I can't tell you, and I know my area where I grew up is going to be no different than most of my listeners who dealt with this. You go into these big cities, and you go into these neighborhoods that are struggling, and it doesn't matter if it's a white neighborhood, a black neighborhood, a Mexican neighborhood, whatever nationality, race, neighborhood we want to talk about, it's all the same. You go into a neighborhood where the majority of people living in these neighborhoods are on government assistance, you're going to see the same thing. A rundown house with a nice car in the driveway, people talking on cell phones, watching TV from their satellite dish. Guaranteed. Because they don't have, the government assistance does not give them any motivation to do better. The only thing it does is motivate them to have more kids to get more money. I know somebody where I live now that fosters children. And this woman continues to bring in more and more and more children and treats them like dog crap. But the reason for that is she's making money hand over fist from the government because she just keeps bringing in these kids. Granted, these kids aren't learning any life lessons. Granted, these kids aren't going to grow up. They're not going to grow up to be productive members of society. Well, okay, I'm jumping the gun. Most of them don't appear to. They may turn over a new leaf. I don't know. But they're not getting any structure from this woman because this woman, all she's worried about is going out, finding a date, going and having you know what, and getting another foster kid. That is the life of this person. Do you blame them? Do you blame these people on welfare that are just handed money to do nothing? I mean, if I wasn't instilled by my mother and father and grandfathers and grandmothers with a very strong work ethic, I would do that. Because it's very, I mean, you look at it. Wait a minute, you can tell me you're going to give me enough money to live on and have a little left over just for sitting around doing nothing. I don't have to work. All I have to do is go out once a month and get a couple apps that I never, ever plan on working for these companies. And you're going to give me money? Sign me up. And that is true, too. I've been retail management long time before I got into my current position. I was retail management, and I worked in Flint. And when I worked for Staples in Flint, it was in the hood. It was in the ghetto. Great people. I mean, the people there were great, but we would constantly have these people come in asking for applications. And I finally got smart to what is going on. These people are only asking for applications because they have to in order to continue to receive their benefits. They don't have to get a job. They just have to show that they're putting in applications. So every now and then I'd have one come in. And as I was there longer, it became more and more common to the point that almost every day I'd have someone come in. Hi, can I get an application for employment? Sure. And then when I go to hand it to them, they'd hand me this piece of paper that I had the sign saying that they came in and received an application. And it got to the point where I looked at these people and I said, listen, if I hand you this application, do you have any intention of coming in for a job interview and working? And to their credit, they were honest. They said, no, I don't want to work. I don't have to work. This is just fulfilling my obligation to continue to receive government assistance. And it got to the point where I'm just like, I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting your time. I'm not giving you this application. Go to the next location and see if they'll give you one. I'm just not going to play in to the destruction of a generational curse. And that's what it is. You've got these people that welfare and food stamps is a generational curse. They live on it. They thrive on it. They expect it, and nothing is going to happen. They're not going to better their lives. They're going to have generation after generation after generation of family that is going to be struggling and make nothing of their lives, not contribute to society in any way, shape, or form. And is that not what being a human being is all about? To contribute to society, to make a difference somewhere at some time. And these people just don't do it, nor do they have any intentions of doing it. As I said, if you're struggling, if you lost a job, if you've had medical crisis, that you really need help, by all means, get your help. I will help you. Personally, if I have to, I will help you. as I've gotten older, I've been blessed. I've got a great job, a well-paying job. I've got a great family. I've been blessed, and I want to pay it forward, and I do what I can. But I'm not going to contribute to you, just me as a father and as a parent. I don't want that for my kids. I don't want my kids to be on welfare. I don't want them to be on food stamps. For the simple fact is, I want better for my kids. If my daughter is dating someone that has no ambition, no drive, and is just, you know, they're barely surviving off of government assistance, is that what I want for my daughter? Or do I want my daughter to find someone that is going to work their tail off and get better? Now, listen, things happen in life. I get it. Happened to me, happened to a lot of people I know. You get sick. You lose a job. Something happens where your financial stability is threatened and you need help. It happens. What separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls, is how you respond to that. If you just curl up in a ball and go to the government and beg for assistance and then say, hey, this is a pretty good gig. I'm just going to skate by in life. I don't want to skate by. I want to do well. But more importantly, I want my children to do better than I did. That is my goal. I've got one goal so far. My kids are, for the most part, really good kids. I mean, we all have kids that do stupid things. I mean, we're kids. I did stupid things as a kid. But they're not in trouble with the law. They're very respectable. They work hard. That's one goal accomplished. They have the ability to be productive members of society. Now, as they're getting older and turning into adults and moving on in the next chapter of their lives, they need to step up and they need, and if I have to help, I guess I will, but I really don't want to. Not that I want to cut the cord, because I've always said, you know, you never stop being a parent. No matter how old your children are, you never stop being a parent. I want them to do well. I want them to be better off than I was. I think now I'm better off than my parents were. I mean, I've got two older brothers and two younger sisters, and every single one of us, I think, not that we grew up poor, we didn't. We were middle class. We had things. We did well. It's a different world today. And it's hard to compare when I grew up in the 80s to when my kids are growing up now in the 2000s. It's a different world. But we're comfortable. But the problem is, that can change in an instant. How you respond to that. Do you curl up in a ball and just, I need help. Government, come get me. Or do you say, son of a bitch, now I got to go back and do it again. It seems to me that the conservatives of this nation are the ones that say, son of a bitch, now I got to go do it again and do it better this time. While the liberals of this country beg for the government to help them out. Call me, you can call me what you want, liberals. You can call me a fascist, you can call me a Nazi, you can call me a racist, whatever you want to call me, I don't care. They're words. And by you calling me that, you don't have a good argument or a rebuttal for what I just said, because let's be honest, it's true. It is true. I had one guy, one liberal, I don't even know how long ago. It was a while ago. I was talking about welfare, and I had one guy email me and say, Tom, you do realize that there's more white people on welfare than there are black people, right? And I said, yes, there are more white people because there are more white people in this country. As a percentage, it is the government's, this was a job of the government, and they completed this job very well. They wanted to destroy the black family. They wanted to make them dependent on the government, and they did. Nowadays, though, you're seeing a growing movement in the black communities around this country that say, you know what? I don't want to be held down. I don't want to be beholden to our government, who doesn't care about us, because they don't. They don't care about us at all. And we're going to talk about that real shortly here, because it's just infuriating me. They don't care about you. They care about you come election time. And then once you give them what they want, they don't care. Look at your inner cities. What has the Democrat Party done for you to make you vote for them? Beside giving you money to hold you down, to stop you from bettering your life. And then I had one guy say, hey, Tom, you are not putting into perspective the societal challenges that inner city kids face. And I'm not going to deny that. But you always hear stories about these kids in the inner cities that break through and they go to college and they become a doctor, they become an engineer. It's possible. It's possible if you want it to happen. Those kids that were growing up in the inner city, in the projects, watching all their other people go into gangs and do drugs and commit crimes, they wanted better for themselves. And they applied themselves. They studied hard. They got good grades. They stayed away from all that crap. Then they went away and went to college and just blossomed because they're out of that environment. And then got out, graduated, and they're the matriarch of the family. They are the family's pride. And people are starting to see this, that I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to be part of the government telling me what I can and can't do, giving me just enough money to survive on. I want better than that. And you should want better than that. And it's out there if you want it. You just have to work. You have to work at it. And as I mentioned, you know, we're giving away money left and right to entitlement programs. When we come back, we're going to talk about the money we're giving away to other countries because, as I said, it's absolutely infuriating me. So I'm going to ask you to sit back. I'm going to ask you to relax. I'm going to ask you to open that mind and try and keep your cool. You might want to take an antidepressant before this because this is crazy what is going on, not only in this country, but around the world now. It is just mind-boggling. So sit back, relax, open that mind. My name is Tom Velasquez. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I will be right back.
Wake up and I still see your face. Sometimes this life's an endless race. Pack up and move to another day. Was it so hard?
Hey everybody, the 7th annual, can't believe we're on the 7th already, the 7th annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Again, this year, get ready for 2 days packed with the paranormal. Saturday, October 26th and Sunday, October 27th, 2024. The world of the paranormal comes to life in Mid-Michigan for the 7th annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. There are so many options on how to attend the convention, but it's simple. The weekend pass, $100. If you want to go for a day, it's $55. Your best bet is the 2-day pass for the weekend. You will have the ability to shop from over 130 otherworldly vendors of all kinds. You will come across Michigan's best psychics, mediums, tarot readers, palmists, Reiki healers, and more. Your spine will tingle browsing crystals, oddities, curiosities, paranormal books, art, jewelry, apparel, and merchandise. You will be able to meet local paranormal teams, learn more about ghosts and all things paranormal, as well as learning about Bigfoot, haunted objects, aliens, cryptids, ufology, spirituality. There will be psychic readings, intuition, witchcraft you'll learn about, tarot, mediums, Michigan lore and its haunted history. There will be private seances, gallery readings, oddities. There will be all-day speakers. There will be demonstrations and presentations, prizes and giveaways, and so much more. But you know what? You can't experience it unless you're there. Again, the 7th annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. October 26th and 27th, 2024, at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
Phone rings this night. Two nights of sleep, blown my head, don't know what to do. I know it's true. I don't want to say it, but you leave me way less than I need you. I know you want a space so you can think about us. The silence is killing me and I'm freaking out. Want to say all the words.
Okay, everybody. Just recently, I know I wasn't on last week, and again, it's going to be hit and miss. I'm not feeling well. I have doctor's appointments. I leave the country the 15th. I'm gone for a week in Mexico. We're doing our annual Mexico trip, trying to get to warmer climates and get to the sun, the heat, and feel better. But before then, I've got doctor's appointment after doctor's appointment, trying to figure out what's going on with me. We're making progress. I think we're getting closer, but I still don't feel good. So, again, these shows may be once a week. It may be intermittent. I don't know. At least I'm trying to do it every other week, and that's why I'm on today. So I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but, well, we did it again. That's all I can say is Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who I was really, really hopeful would turn the tide, is turning into nothing more than a even worse version of Kevin McCarthy, which I didn't think was possible, but it is. I mean, everything he said he was going to do, he's really not done. Yes, he released some of the J6 tapes, which was great, but I mean, we have just capitulated to the Democrats, to the fact that we showed our whole hand and there's nothing else we have left. For me to say I'm frustrated would be an understatement. Infuriated is an understatement, but I don't know any other word. I mean, I'm just furious, frustrated, infuriated, pissed off. So let me recap. The U.S. Congress and the Senate just approved $61 billion to protect Ukraine. And we don't have any money going to protect our border. The main point of putting Mike Johnson in was so he could make this happen. We could get money toward our border to protect our border. And he completely capitulated and said, here's $10 billion for Israel. Here's $60 billion to Ukraine. No money for our border? Well, okay, we'll just pass it anyway. And here's the worst part. And this is what absolutely pushed me over the edge. After they voted yay on this, they cheered and waved Ukrainian flags and chanted Ukraine, Ukraine in the chamber. They are waving another country's flag in our chamber while our country is being invaded. Neither party, I just want you to know, neither party has ever worked together to pass a bill to help Americans and then euphorically waved the U.S. flags while in chamber. Never happened. Never, ever happened. And then afterwards, both parties ran to social media and mocked the tax-paying U.S. citizen for wanting our money spent here. Then called tax-paying U.S. citizens who don't want to fund every foreign war around the globe isolationists, Putin puppets, and every other name in the book. I mean, what do you call these people? Treasonists? Insurrectionists? What do you call them? This is essentially, we are now the United States of Ukraine. You, right now, are witnessing the continuation of the greatest theft in human history. We are not free, ladies and gentlemen. We are slaves. Our labor is the energy source that fuels death and destruction around the globe. And the problem is, and this is why they're waving the Ukrainian flags, the politicians profit from our own suffering. And I think Charlie Kirk said it best when he said, "You cannot sustain a representative form of government while jamming unpopular bill after unpopular bill down the throat of the American people while ignoring our pressing issues at home. The Republican Party is elected primarily by its voters to be a check on the DC consensus. Instead, they are an accelerant on our demise. Not only is the DC GOP collapsing the country by their anti-American actions, they are participating in the end of the constitutional order as we know it. This is not sustainable." I can't say it any better. Literally, Charlie Kirk is very, very well spoken on that, better than I could have been. And if you think that the swamp isn't real, the following people praise the Ukraine aid in the fact that there's no money for the United States: Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, John Bolton, asshole, CNN, New York Times, Mike Pence, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, MSNBC, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Mike Johnson, idiot. The swamp is real. We are not even pawns in this game anymore. We don't even play the game. They are playing us. They're not even moving us. We're moving ourselves. These anti-Israel. I'm going to move topics now. Let me end that. Before I move topics, let me end this one. Every member in the House, in the Senate, that was waving a Ukrainian flag needs to be removed from their position. You know, let's just remove them from their position to start with. We'll talk about treason later. But they obviously don't have the American citizens' best intentions in mind. Again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We are no longer a representative government. Not once did I have my representative come to my district and asked how he should vote, which is how it was supposed to work. I get it. Things are different. Politicians, back when the founding fathers created this country, a politician was not a lifelong career. Politicians were farmers, were market keeps that took time out of their busy schedule at home, went to Washington, made laws, went back home and worked. It was never designed to be what it is today. It will never go back unless we make it. Because as a politician in Washington, why would you want to give up this gravy train? You go in on a salary making $120,000 a year, come out multi-millionaire with no repercussions. You have immunity apparently for everything. Why would you want to give that up? Well, that's exactly why we need to give that up. Make these people go to work every day. Make it so insider trading as a member of Congress and the Senate is illegal, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I've got my own rules I have to follow. They apparently don't have theirs. It's rules for me, not for thee. I am seriously coming to the conclusion that I am no longer going to want to pay taxes because my taxes are not being used to benefit the country that I'm paying taxes for. What is the Biden administration? What are the Democrats doing with all of my tax money beside inhibiting an individual's ability to grow by entitlement programs and sending all of my hard-earned money overseas to fight a war that is not winnable? Ukraine is not going to win this war. They're not going to. They can't. Russia is too powerful. The only reason we're sending all of this money over there is because the politicians in Washington have a lot of illegal business dealings over there, and they need them protected. That's the only reason. Meanwhile, you look at videos of Ukraine. This looks nothing like a war-torn nation. You've got the younger generation out there just partying, doing everything like this is. I mean, they're having more fun than we do in America. But that's a war-torn nation. Obviously, this money is going somewhere, and it's not toward the war. So basically, and if it is going to the war, basically what we did is just gave them $60 million so they can sacrifice even more people to this war. It's not a winnable war. We need to stop giving them money and work on diplomatic solutions. You have to realize this. So if the fact that we're handing out billions of dollars to other countries while foregoing protecting our own country, on May 28th, the Biden administration will relinquish pandemic preparedness to the World Health Organization. You heard me right. Joe Biden and the Democrats are going to give up our sovereignty and give it to the World Health Organization. But the World Health Organization, knowing that there would be pushback, is trying to deflect what this is. But listen to how deceptive this statement is. And plus, there doesn't have to be an actual pandemic. It can be on an anticipated pandemic without any pathogen isolated. So by handing over control, our sovereignty, to the World Health Organization, what happened during COVID is going to look like child's play. But I want you to listen to this and what the World Health Organization is saying about what would happen. And listen to how deceptive this is. Listen to this.
Standardize a lot of what took place during COVID. It'll standardize it across multiple countries. The vaccination rollout, the standards, the reporting standards, the tracking standards, things like that. And then it'll allow the WHO to declare certain countries that they're in a state of pandemic and is in a certain state of medical emergency. But it'll still be up to those countries to actually act upon it. I don't think...
No, actually, that's the way they're trying to spin it. And that's lovely, just like the PREP Act tried to spin the emergency use authorization, which could be done, as you know, to suspend any of the rights of any individual to actually have informed consent, which, by the way, was signed into law in 2016 under the 21st Century CARES Act. This is doing the exact same thing. What it does is it allows a board at the World Health Organization to either declare an actual emergency or declare an anticipated emergency. There doesn't have to be any evidence. There is no evidence standard at all. So this is actually worse than what happened in COVID, because they don't even have a standard that says they have to isolate a pathogen. They don't have to isolate anything. What they have to do is simply say, we think that there is a reason to declare an emergency. And as such, we therefore have the ability to suspend travel, to actually penalize member states. There's a very big clause inside of the treaty that actually has penalties on member states for non-compliance. So yes, the Tedros official statement is, oh, no, everybody still has their sovereignty. Kind of like New York had sovereignty during the pandemic. So if you feel good about how New York treated everybody during the pandemic, then you're probably safe.
So the gentleman at the end was David Meyer. He's an intellectual property risk analyst, and he hit the nail on the head. What basically would happen is, well, let's look at what may happen here in the near future. We've all heard about the avian flu. They're prepping us that the avian flu is going to jump from birds to humans, and it's going to be deadly. Is that the disease X that the World Health Organization continues to talk about? There's a very, very, very good possibility of that. What will happen after May 28th is the World Health Organization can come in to our country or your whatever country you're listening to me on. They can come into that country and restrict travel. They can restrict where you go, what you do, what you buy, what you eat, who you talk to, where you gather. Kind of like COVID, but here's the kicker. The states like North Dakota, Florida, Texas, they don't have the ability anymore to make their own rules, because the supreme being, World Health Organization, will make those rules. And if Florida, for example, comes in and says, no, we're not going to do that, they will punish Florida. They will. I don't know how they would do it. Stop supplying funding, stop supplying medicine, whatever. It is designed specifically to have the World Health Organization, the almighty being. This is the New World Order, Agenda 2030, the beginning stages of it. And for those of us who during COVID were outspoken against COVID and against the lockdowns and against the COVID vaccines, well, that would be, we would be considered misinformation. We would be giving out misinformation, false claims, we could be subject to jail time, fines, who knows what else. This is a bad, bad thing. And the worst part is there doesn't even have to be a pandemic. The World Health Organization could say, hey, there's a little bit of an outbreak here of Ebola in Africa. We're going to put the whole world on lockdown just to contain it. That's all we're doing, is just containing it. Meanwhile, you can't go here, you can't go here. We're shutting all these businesses down. We're destroying the economy. Therefore, we can round all of you guys up and put you into these little tenements in these cities. You've seen them in China. 100 floors. 100,000 people live in these tenements. There's shops, there's gyms. People don't leave these tenements. They go to work in these tenements. They go to school in these tenements. They shop in these tenements. Their entertainment is in these tenements. You do not leave. You will have nothing, and you will be happy, per Klaus Schwab. That is, this whole thing is why I'm so blessed to be born and raised and continue to live in the United States of America, where we still, I'm a firm believer that we are one of the very, very, very few nations on this planet that would be able to fight back and try and take control. You know, Joe Biden, you're going to need F-15 and nukes to beat the government. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think as we've gone along and seen what our government is capable and is willing to do to its people, and that's not just the American government, that's governments all across the world, and you see the mass of humanity that is rising up against it. You've all seen the meme with the leader sitting at his desk and everybody bowing and cracking the whip, and everybody's bowing and he's cracking the whip, and then the one guy stands up, and then two guys stand up, and then four guys stand up. Till pretty soon we realize, holy shit, there are so many more of us than there are them. We can take them, and that's what it's going to take. Listen, YouTube, Facebook, FBI, DOJ, CIA, I'm not condoning, I'm not saying go start a civil war. Do I think something like that is on the horizon? Absolutely. You keep perpetuating these asshole policies like this, people get fed up. And that's where we are. We are at that point. The World Health Organization is going to be our daddy, like it or not. Because the Biden administration, they've proven beyond the shadow of a doubt, they don't care what we think. They don't care what the people think. They've got their own agenda, they've got their own plan, and they've got the blinders on, and they're moving straight forward with it. We're in their way. So before I end the show, I want to talk to you about something that came out about a day or two ago. Apparently, the White House is considering declaring a national climate emergency. And if that were to happen, NBC News has reported that if Joe Biden declares the national climate emergency, he would have COVID-like powers under that emergency. They also compare the emergency powers to the 9/11 emergency powers. We all know how that goes. Patriot Act. The Center for Biological Diversity has estimated Joe Biden would get about 130 wartime like powers by which to bypass democracy, and here's the key, and impose the Green New Deal on America without a single vote from Congress. And again, we are no longer represented. We have no representatives anymore in Washington. We vote these guys in. We vote these women in. But they don't care about what we think. And even if we do vote one in that does care about what we think and votes the way we want them to vote, they're not even going to have a chance to vote now because these are executive actions. He can just say, yeah, this is how it's going to be. And that's the law of the land. This is the sabotage of American energy. The Biden administration unveiled new plans to block oil and gas drillings across millions of acres of the natural petroleum reserve in Alaska. Now, this also affects a copper mine and access road that would help us to compete with China. This comes weeks after the Biden administration banned drilling and mining in Colorado for 20 years. Now, the Biden administration has come out and said this is all to lower energy prices in America. That's a bold-faced lie. Because if you decrease demand, or you decrease the supply, but the demand remains high, listen, this is fifth grade economics here, everybody. If you have people that need gasoline, but you are not drilling for oil, you are not replenishing your strategic reserves, and you are not buying oil from foreign powers or foreign nations that supply us oil, that kills the supply. But the demand stays high. So as a result, because the supply is low, demand is high, they're going to raise prices on it. They're trying to make our country more expensive to live in. They're trying to disrupt supply chains. They're trying to create inflation, although it's already here. They're trying to harm economic growth, although it's already here. And they're trying to impact our national security, which they're doing by opening and leaving the border open. Every member of the government, beside a few, needs to be arrested and charged with treason. These politicians, left and right, are just absolutely trying to destroy our country and make it a third world country. And you go into some of these inner cities and it's already there. You go into Philadelphia. Hey, by the way, Adam Schiff, anybody hear about this? Adam Schiff in San Francisco was robbed. All of his luggage, he had a big keynote speaker ship that he had to go to. He had all his luggage stolen. He was robbed in San Francisco and had to wear basically sweatpants and a shirt to speak at this huge gathering. You made your bed, Mr. Schiff. Not even going to call you that. You made your bed, pedophile. I'm sorry. You made your bed, Adam. You lie in it. This is the Democrat Party of America. This is what they have created, coming to a town near you. So on that happy note, that'll be the show this week. Thank you for listening. We're going to end the show with a throwback. This is one of our first songs, Multiple Myselfs and Tommy V. This is Falling. This is the first verse. This is my verse. I think it's actually one of our best songs. I hope you like it, but... thank you for listening to the show, and, you know, we got to do something to get this country back in order. Give me ideas. Thank you for listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you probably next week, hopefully. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
I'm getting tired, dying. I got nowhere to hide. My soul is gone. Nobody thought I'd do it, but I did it, and it won't be long. I shiver as my body is cold. I will my story unfold. I thought I could handle it, but the stress is too much. Now I'm dying with no one to hold. In the context of it all, is it inevitable that I fall? Nobody ever gave me half a chance to fall when I try to make a stand. These times be getting harder. My dreams and goals are getting farther. The drugs didn't stop the pain, just intensified the feeling that I'm going insane. I'm doing my best, but keep falling.